substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I want to preach tonight about evidence of the invisible. Evidence of the invisible. Amen. And there is evidence of invisible things. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We live in an amazing world. We have, in recent times, discovered things because of technology that we had never been able to see before. With the invention of a telescope, we are able to see far into the distant heavens and discover galaxies that we could never see with these eyes. They were there all the time. They're not new, but we just couldn't see them before. But now we can see things. Now we have evidence. Perhaps we believed that before, but now we have evidence that it's there. In ancient times, people would have laughed at you if you talked about molecules and atoms and nuclei and all of those things. That was not part of their vocabulary, and they would not have believed that such a thing existed. They would never have believed that there's such a thing as living water. That's water's got stuff living in it. And if you've ever looked at a drop of water under a microscope, it's living water. And some of the living stuff is good, and the good stuff is good for you. And the bad stuff is bad for you. I'm real glad that God didn't let us see that well. I like 2020 or whatever it is that I see now. But I don't want it to get a whole lot better than that, because I don't want to see what I'm eating, and I don't want to see what I'm drinking beyond just the general form. If you've ever looked at it through a microscope, it's not a good thing. It kind of reveals things that you don't want to know. The pillow you sleep on, if you looked at that under a microscope, you wouldn't want to put your head on it. Amen. I'm just talking about some evidence of things unseen. Now, they're there. They're real. They're genuine. But without the proper help, we cannot view them. We cannot see them. But with the help of a telescope and a microscope, we can see things that we cannot see. And we have evidence of things that are alive, a whole different world of existence that we never dreamed existed until we were able to see into that realm. And tonight I want to talk about some things that we know they're real, but you can't see them. Have you ever seen love? Not the emotion. You haven't. But you have seen evidence of it. If you want to see evidence, look right over there, that man with a green shirt, and watch him holding that little girl. Amen. And that's an evidence of what love is. Amen. And you watch Sister Stephanie when she holds that little girl. That's evidence of what love is. It's what it looks like. Amen. You watch people that, Brother Robbie and Sister Elsa, one way off in Colorado, one down here in Texas. And I guarantee you talk's not cheap when you look at their phone bill. You get to looking at the telephone bill when people are apart like that, and you find out that talk's not cheap after all. But it's an evidence of love. You want to be with the one that you love. So there are evidences of it, though we cannot see the emotion itself. We know that it exists because there's an evidence of it. And faith, there is an evidence of faith. I love that verse in the book of Luke and book of Mark. The Bible talks about Jesus being in a place, and he was teaching to a house. The house was just packed full of people, and nobody else could get in. These men had a friend, and they just believed that if they could get him to Jesus, that Jesus could heal him. And so they brought him, and they noticed the house was packed, and they said, no way we can get him in that way. So they took him up on top of the house, and they started peeling away the tiles, and they started letting that man down. He was on a cot, and they just started letting him down with some ropes. Amen. And the Bible said this. It said And when Jesus saw their faith, how can he see faith? Well, faith was the evidence of their faith, was their obedience and their desire just to get that man into the presence of the Lord. They said, if we can just get him to Jesus, he can be healed. Amen. And so he saw faith. He looked up and he saw those excited faces as they let that man down into the presence. So there's an evidence of invisible things. God's promises are not visible. But I want you to know today that God always keeps his promises. And there are evidences of God's promises. We can see those things. God made some promises. Some of them are dire and some of them are blessed. He said to Adam, he said, if you eat that tree right there, he said, you're going to die. Well, we can see that evidence all around us. Amen. Ever since Adam, people every time they get to a certain age and they depart. So he kept his promise, didn't he? He said that's going to happen and that's what happened. And he told Noah, he said, if you'll build a boat and you'll get in that boat with your family, he said, everybody and everything that gets in that boat, he said, I'm going to save them. And they did that. Noah built the ark and he got into it and he got his family into it and the flood came, but Noah and his family rode above the flood and were saved. The waters that destroyed others saved them because they were obedient just to the word of the Lord. And it was evident. Amen. You see the evidence of just doing what God said. You may not understand what he's saying. It may not make sense to you. You may not be able to rationalize what God says. But if we obey what God says, then he'll save us. So there's an evidence to invisible things. Amen. And God spoke to a man by the name of Abram. And he made him some promises. He made him several promises. Actually, over in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, it said, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that's a big promise. That's a big promise to a man that didn't even have an heir. And I don't know how old he was when God made that promise to him. I know he was 80 or 75 years old when he finally got around to taking action. So I don't know if he took action right away or if he waited around a little while. But I do know that he was 75 and he had no heir. And then he was 85 and he had no heir. And then he was 95 and his wife was 85 and he didn't have an heir. And time had run out, it looked like. My. But when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old, God said, all right, it's time. Amen. And the Lord gave Abram an heir. Amen. And the son was born to him. Praise God. And it took a while, but God kept his promise. You know, the Lord likes to do things differently at different times. And he does that in part because sometimes we think that we have God figured out. Well, I know so-and-so went through this same thing and here's what God did for them. Well, that's great, but he may not do that for you. Hello? Amen. You know, so I've seen people get discouraged because of that. They went through something and they said, well, you know, so-and-so went through the same thing, and here's what God did, and God doesn't do it for you, and so you get discouraged. Amen. Well, that's putting faith in someone else's experience. Amen. You put faith in God, not somebody else's experience. You see, the Word of God is sure. And when He says something, you can believe it. Because God always keeps His promises. So God gave Abraham a son. And God gave Abraham's son a son, a couple of them. And God gave one of those sons, 12 sons. Amen. And that from him came a nation called the nation of Israel. God's keeping His promises. You see, you're beginning to see evidence of what God said He was going to do. It took a lot of time. And then they grew to about 70 people. Well, I don't know if that's a nation or not. It'd be an awful small one, wouldn't it? And then God did something real interesting. He said, I'm going to put you into captivity. And I'm going to let you serve another nation for 430 years. Well, what happened to the promise? Well, it was still real. It was still there. It hadn't died. Amen. So 430 years, they were in Egypt. Amen. And finally, God said, now it's time for us to leave here because you're a nation. You see, during that 430 years, they grew from 70 people to approximately 2 million or more. Now, that's a nation. As a matter of fact, the Egyptians became so afraid of them, they said, if they ever decide to take over, they can overthrow us. And so they became very afraid of the children of Abraham, because now they're a nation. And when they got to the place that they were big enough to step into the promises of God, He said, now it's time for you to leave here. And when God gets ready to pay folks, my, what a payday. The Bible said when they left Egypt, they had all the gold, and they had the silver, and they had all of the worthwhile things, and they had the living stock, and they had food. When they left there, they had everything worth having that was in Egypt. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, if you serve the Lord, He's going to take care of you. Now, I'm not saying He's going to make you rich with this world's goods. If He does, it's not to show how good you are. It's to help somebody else. It's not to squander on your own pleasure, but it's to help somebody else. It's to help missionaries preach the gospel in lands that need to hear the gospel. Amen. It's not just about us, folks. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're going to hear that anywhere else, but you heard it here. And you can read it in your Bible. Amen. God's plan is to bless us so that we can bless others. Amen. And thank God that some of you have learned that lesson well. Amen. And so God made a promise to Israel. He said, I'm going to give you a land. And He did that. Look over in the book of Exodus, if you would, chapter 3, verse 8. And He said, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites. And the Jebusites. So He said, I'm going to give you not only a land, but I'm going to give you a large land. It's going to fit. Amen. And then He said again in Exodus 6 and 4. He said, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. Whenever Abraham got to that place, the Lord said, Abraham, everywhere you walk, it's going to be yours. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to your heirs from this point on. And so Abraham did a lot of walking. And everywhere he walked, God said, I'm going to give that to you. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder if the Lord told us that tonight, how much walking we'd do. Amen. Or would we get satisfied pretty quick? And we'd find the nice shady spot that had a stream and fish in it and game in the field. And my, this is a nice place right here. And we'd get satisfied. And we'd get settled. Amen. I'm afraid that's what we do sometimes in our spiritual inheritance. The Lord gave us great land to walk in. Amen. He gave us much to possess. But if we're not careful, we'll just get satisfied with a little bit. We'll get satisfied with what we have. And we'll just settle in and settle back. And we'll not go out and possess everything that He has promised to us. Amen. And so we are supposed to go out, folks, and possess things. I admire the prayer of the psalmist when he told the Lord, he said, give me the heathen for my inheritance. He wasn't asking for gold and silver and mansions and all of that. He said, what I really want, he said, I want the lost for my inheritance. I want to win the world. I want to win the nations. That's what I want for my inheritance. I want everybody to know God like I know God. My, that's the kind of example that you and I need to have tonight. And that's the kind of shoes that we need to walk in. So God said to them, he said, I'm going to give you the land. Well, it took them a while to get there. They came to the land, and the Bible says, then the Lord called them together, and then over in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, they all got to the land, and now it's time to go in and possess the land. Everybody say, possess. Possess the land. Now you see, God had let the Canaanites stay there with a purpose. Because he said to Israel, he says, I want to give you crops that you didn't plant. I want to give you wells that you did not dig. I want to give you houses to live in that you will not have to build. Now if God had driven out all the enemy before Israel got there, there wouldn't have been any crops. Have you ever seen a field that was left dormant for 430 years? I guarantee you it wouldn't have much good on it. And it would take a lot of work to ever get it back in shape. So God left those people there for 430 years. And he let them get it ready for Israel. And when it was all ready, God said, now it's time for me to take them out and give this to my people. So there was a reason that God left them there. There was a reason he said, you have to possess it. You have to drive these out so that it can be yours. Amen. But it's prepared for you, and I have promised it. And so God had promised to give the land to Israel. Amen. And so 13 in verse number 2, the scripture said, the Lord speaking to Moses, he said, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, listen carefully, which I give unto the children of Israel. He said, it's theirs. I am giving it to them. Amen. So God, once again, he reiterated the promise that he had made. And let me read you the list of the men that he sent here. Looking in verse number 4, and he starts naming these people. From the tribe of Reuben, there was a guy by the name of Shammua. Shammua, his name means renowned. And then there was a guy by the name of Caleb. We know about him, don't we? His name means force. Amen. And then there was a guy by the name of Shaphat. His name means judge. Egal was the avenger. Oshea, or as we know him, Joshua. His name means deliverer. And there was a guy by the name of Jehalti, and his name means delivered. And Gadiel, his name means fortunate of God. Gadi, which means fortunate. And Amiel, the people of God. Sather, his name meant hidden. And Nabi, his name meant secret. And Goel, his name means majesty of God. So the Lord chose each one. He said they're all rulers. All influential. Cream of the crop. He said, that's who I have selected. Man, they marched into the land of Canaan for 40 days. They went all over the place. And here's the mission. The Lord said this. He said, see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they may dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they may dwell in, whether in tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood or not, but then be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. So he says, I want you to go in. It's time to go. You know, timing is important to God. Timing is important to God. You see, the Bible says, now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. God said there's something waiting for you over there. There's some sweet stuff. There's some good stuff. Now it's time to go. Sometimes we want to do God's will, but in our time. I've heard people say, well, you know, if God wants me to have the Holy Ghost, he'll give it to me when he gets ready. Or if God wants me to do so and so, you know, he'll move on me whenever the time gets ready. Amen. If God wants me to do this or that or the other, and they put the responsibility on God rather than on themselves, rather than making themselves ready and available to God at any time, they try to put time, God on their time schedule. Amen. I have some folks that happens, you know, they want the Lord to come when they want him to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody ever heard of sowing wild oats? The problem with sowing wild oats is they come up. And you know what you get? Wild oats. That's what you get. You know? And that's a bad harvest. The only way to have a good harvest is plant it and cultivate it and wait on it. It'll come up in time. Amen. But you'll have to wait a while because you got to plant a whole new harvest. So God said, I want you to go over right now because this is the right time. Well, they went. The Bible says that they cut down just one cluster of grapes, and it took two men to carry it. Man, that's a big cluster of grapes. I got to go to Israel some years ago, and they had the biggest grapes I've ever seen in my life. They were huge, literally that big around. They were massive. Never seen grapes like that in my life. And it was a very, very interesting place. But he said, I want you to go. They went and they got the fruit and they brought the pomegranates and they brought the figs and they brought the grapes and they returned. And they came back and the Bible says that they showed the people the fruit of the land. What is that? It's evidence. It's evidence. It's what you're going to have when you get over there. Amen. This is what you're going to have in your backyard. This is going to be a part of your... This is just a little bit. This is just to show you what's waiting over there. Amen. There's evidence, folks. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it's an invisible... It's a promise. You can't see it yet. But if you'll just go in and possess it, this is the evidence of what you're going to receive when you get there. Amen. And then they started giving the report, didn't they? Amen. They started telling them about it all. Verse 27, it said they showed them the fruit of the land and they said, surely it floweth with milk and honey. Now they were honest. They said, the people be strong and the cities are walled and very great. But you know what's good about cities being big and great? Because it's going to be my inheritance. I'm going to have a great city. I'm going to have walled cities. Amen. I'm going to have permanent dwellings that I don't have to build. I'm just going to move in. I'm going to have wells I don't have to dig. Yeah, it's going to take a little work to get there. It's going to take some faith to drive out the enemy. But it's going to be worth it. Amen. And so they began to tell about. And they were wise and they were honest about it. And they told them who was there. And then all of a sudden Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able." Hallelujah. Amen. I love Caleb. I mean, the guy's, he's ready. He said, "Let's go right now. We've been waiting a long, long time. It's a promise." He said, "God said we could have it. Let's go right now." I like those kind of folks. Let's go right now. Amen. Soon as they see it, they said, "It's time to act on it." And there's no priming and there's no pumping. Amen. They just say, "Let's go do it now." That was the Caleb spirit. Amen. But then you got the other side that said, "We're not able." Well, here's the thing, folks. The Lord wasn't counting on them to do it. He said, "I will drive out your enemies before you." Now, you go over to the book of Joshua, and I know that's 40 years later, but they were scared to death when Israel got to that border. They were scared to death. They said, "They're coming." And we know what they did to everybody else that's come against them. We know how they got here. We know what happened in Egypt. We know about the plagues. We know about the dividing of the Red Sea. We know about the Egyptian army and how they wiped out the army. We know about their God. We're scared to death. They're coming here too. And they were ready to pack their bags and get out. Amen. That's right. The reputation of Israel and Israel's God had preceded them. But here they are. They're saying, "Oh, scared to death." And Israel said, "Well, we can't do that." Amen. Don't, you see, that's the thing. You got to have more than faith in yourself. You've got to have faith in God. And if there's anything that your God can't do, then your God's not big enough. Amen. If He has limitations, He's not the God of the Bible. If there's anything too hard for the Lord, it's not the God of the Bible. If there's any enemy too strong for Him, it's not the God of the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said, "Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." That's the God of the Bible, folks. There's no enemy that can stand against Him. And He said, "No weapon formed against Israel," He said, "it's not going to prosper." Amen. And so they got to looking at themselves and looking at their enemies, and they said, "We can't do it." Amen. That's the, you got to keep your eyes on the prize. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. You see, He has a promise. They saw the evidence. They saw the evidence. They saw the evidence. And then they got to listen to evil reports. They said, "We can't do it." Amen. And so they allowed doubt to defeat their faith. Amen. And they lost out on an opportunity. Amen. And the Bible called them evil because of that. Now, folks, it's a little bit difficult in a way to understand, because these people, you know, they were in a place and God had given them water out of a rock, and he gave them manna out of heaven, and he supplied their great needs, and he saw how they brought them out of Egypt and what they had done. I mean, they had nothing. They were slaves. They didn't even have weapons. They had absolutely nothing. And how God had brought them out and supplied their needs and brought them to this place. You would have thought their faith would have been sky high. Isn't that right? I mean, all they had to do was look at their clothes. They weren't worn out, and they had miracle food in their mouth, and everywhere around them. All they had to do was look. They had gold, and they had silver, and they had brass, and they had all this wonderful things that God had blessed Israel with. And Just a little while before that, they didn't have anything. They were slaves. Yet he brings them and he says, and they allow the evil report to say, the God that did all of that can't do this. Amen. Amazing. Now, before we get too critical, let me bring it home, if I may. How is it that we can have a great service and run and shout, praise God, and feel the Holy Ghost, turn double back flips and gargle with peanut butter? I mean, we're feeling good. Amen. Running pews and, oh, we're having a time, and woo, we feel 10 foot tall. And then comes Monday morning. Amen. Wednesday night, barely make it to church, if you make it at all. What happened? Has God changed? Has God changed? No, God hasn't changed. Has His promise changed? No, His promise hasn't changed. What changed? You got your eye on the enemy instead of the promise and the God of the promise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We start walking by feelings. If I don't feel God, so? Amen. It's not about feeling. It's about faith. Praise the Lord. It's about faith. And I tell you one thing, if you'll have faith and start praising, in a little while you'll start feeling. Amen. If you'll quit doubting and start praising, you'll start feeling. Amen. Feeling always follows your faith, not the opposite. Your faith doesn't follow your feelings, but your feelings follow your faith. When you believe God and praise God and worship God, then you have faith. And then you begin to feel things. But it all begins, amen, with your faith in God. And that's an evidence. If you can't see it, but you act on it. Because you know He said it, and you believe it. God's Word is the most powerful thing that there is. The first evidence that we have that God's Word is true is creation. This very ball that we live on called Earth is constructed by the Word of God. The heavens that are above us and the sun and the moon and the stars, that is evidence of the Word of God. God said, let there be, and there was. Light is evidence of the Word of God. Life is evidence of God's spoken Word. That's what His Word is. We're surrounded by it. And then we have God's written Word. And that's the Bible. God wrote certain things down for us. You see, if you want something to live, write it down. Write it down. If you want to get things right, write it down. It's an old couple sitting out on the porch, and the old man turns around to his sweet little wife, and he says, honey, he said, would you like to have some ice cream? And she said, I believe I would. He said, I'll get you some. She said, how do you want it? She said, well, I said, you better write it down. She said, you'll forget. He said, no, I won't. Just tell me. She said, I want vanilla ice cream, and I want some nuts on it, and I want some of that chocolate syrup on top. And he said, all right. He was gone a little while longer, and finally come back, and he was carrying eggs, 2 eggs on a plate. And she said, honey, she said, I told you, you should have wrote it down. She said, you scrambled the wrong egg. So it sounds like both of them should have wrote it down. But if you want to get it right, write it down. Amen. God did that for us, folks. He wrote it down. so that every generation can see what He said and go back and stand on the promise. God wrote it down. You see, this is evidence. You hold it in your hand. Amen. You're breathing. God's evidence. Every time you take a breath, that's evidence of the Word of God. That's evidence of God and His promise. Amen. It's all around us. We're surrounded by evidence. It's everywhere we look. It's everywhere we are. The evidence of God. Amen. And then God had spoken by creation. God had spoken by His written Word. And then God spoke by the incarnation. Amen. The Bible said that God was manifest in the flesh. God put on some skin. God put on a body. And He came and He lived in a human body, just like yours and mine. Amen. So He would really understand us. Really understand us. There was a king one time, he had an armor maker make him a suit of armor. And he told him how he wanted it made, and he said, "I want the very best." He said, "And I want it to be able to stop anything that anybody can throw at me." He said, "It needs to stop spears, and it needs to stop swords, and it needs to stop everything that people can do. I want to be able to survive in a battle, so you make me some armor that'll withstand anything." And the armor maker did that, and he brought it to the king, and the king said, "Put it on, and let me see." So he put it on, and all of a sudden the king called some men in, and man, they went after that guy with spears and swords, and they were beating on him and banging on him, and the guy was screaming and hollering and crying inside. And finally, whenever they stepped back and the armor survived the test and the guy was still alive, he said, "What in the world's going on?" He said, "I told you I wanted to withstand everything, but I wanted to try it before I put it on." Amen. And sure enough, it was good, or he would have taken his life. Amen. Our God did that for us. He came and put on some armor just like this right here. And the Bible says that He defeated sin in the flesh. Whereas Papa Adam and Mama Eve failed, Jesus overcame. He was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. He was completely successful. Completely victorious. Amen. And He survived. Hallelujah. Amen. And then He gave us the same means that He had. Praise the Lord. So God was manifest in flesh, folks. And He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. He became our sacrifice. He became our Savior so that we could become like Him. Amen. Praise God. There's evidence of that. I know there's people say all kinds of things about Jesus, but and they tried to say that He didn't die, that He just swooned in the tomb. Amen. And so, you can believe that if you want to. You can go hang out in the sun for a day and let somebody pierce your heart with a sword and beat your back and put thorns on your head and then take you and lock you up in a tomb for 3 days and let's see if you swoon. Yeah, I think it was more than swooning. The Bible says that He was dead. And then on the third day, when they went down to check on Him, he was alive and well. Hallelujah. Not only was He alive, but the angel said, "He's alive forevermore." Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about something that works here, folks. I'm not talking about something somebody told me about. I've tried it, and I know it works. Jesus told His disciples in the book of Luke and the book of Acts, He said, "Go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high." And He said, "Until you receive the promise of the Father." So they went to Jerusalem to the upper room, and they tarried. Amen. Jesus told them, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So they went, and they tarried, and they waited. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there came upon them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so something mighty happened on the day of Pentecost. And it affected the whole city. The Bible said these folks got out and there were people from all these different places, and they heard them speaking in these languages. And they mocked them, and they made fun of them, and they were amazed, and they had all kinds of different responses. And then Peter got up, he grew a backbone, and stood up and started preaching. You talk about evidence. I said, you talk about evidence. Here's a man that couldn't stand up to a girl in a courtyard that was calling him a Christian. And here he is 50 days later, and he stands up in front of the same crowd that had crucified Jesus Christ and began to preach a powerful message to them and brings them under conviction and tells them that they had crucified the Lord of glory. And when he got through preaching, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter just stood right up and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So he made a promise to them. He said, I got some evidence here because I just got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He had the evidence of it, folks. Amen. And the evidence goes on, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Peter went down to the house of some Gentiles, and it took a lot of convincing, but the Lord finally got him to go. And the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them which believed. Amen. And they too received the Holy Ghost. And when they got back, the Jewish council said, how do you know they got the Holy Ghost? Those are Gentiles. They said, because we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God just like we did. They saw some evidence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul run to some of John the Baptist's followers, and he said, "Woo! Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, we hadn't even heard about the Holy Ghost. He said, how are you baptized? I know there's people today that say it don't matter, right? It doesn't matter how you're baptized or if you're baptized. Apparently it did to Paul. He said, how were you baptized? They said, in John's baptism. Well, how did John baptize? In water, by immersion, under repentance. Amen. That wasn't good enough for Paul. He said, you need to be rebaptized. So the Bible says he'd be baptized. The only difference in Paul's baptism, John's baptism, is the name of Jesus Christ. But that was enough for Paul. So he rebaptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues. Praise God. There's some evidence, folks. There's evidence of the promise. There's evidence of the promise. It's invisible. You can't see the Holy Ghost, but you can see the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said one time, he said, the wind blows. He said, the Spirit's like the wind. He said, the wind blows where it wants to. And you can't see it. You cannot see the wind. It's invisible. But we saw some evidence today, didn't we? If you were outside this afternoon, you saw evidence of wind. You saw dust and leaves and anything else big enough for it to move. Amen. You saw that. I saw the wind one time blow over a stack of tires at a tire store, and it was blowing them right down the highway. They were rolling out in front of people's cars. And I couldn't see the wind, but I could sure see the evidence of it. Amen. You live out in West Texas very long, you'll not only see it, you can taste it. Amen. It'll come up, it'll be a big old red cloud. You won't even hardly be able to see the road in front of you. And you stick your head out and you'll taste it, get it in your nose and your mouth. Amen. And so you can't see the wind, but you can see evidences of it. You can't see the Holy Ghost, but you can see evidences of it. Amen. The first and initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Amen. The ongoing evidence of the Holy Ghost is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. So there's evidence of this, folks. There's evidence. Do you want to know if you have the Holy Ghost tonight? Let me ask you. Have you spoken with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance? Number one. Secondly, do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Do you have those things evident in your life? Can other people see those things in your life? That's how we know. Didn't Jesus say, by their fruit, you'll know them? Amen. So we're not judges. I hear people say, don't you judge me. I can't judge you, but I can inspect your fruit. So God didn't tell me to be a judge. He said, but I can be a fruit inspector. Amen. And that's how I know. Praise God. And I'm not just judging others. I got to judge myself and see if I still bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's stand together tonight. There's some evidence. There's some things you can't see. You cannot see the Holy Ghost, but there's evidence of the Holy Ghost. So you can know tonight whether you have it or not. The Bible gives us a guide. I know we can listen to people's opinions, but people's opinions vary a whole lot. And you can't always put a lot of confidence in people's opinions. Amen. But you can have confidence tonight in the Word of God, can't we? Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. So I can put faith in this. So if I want to know anything about God, about His Word, about His promises, amen, about His Spirit, I just look to the Word. Amen. What I find in here and how it happened here, this is the evidence. This is the evidence. And it's not going to pass away. It's not going to change. It's going to be the same day after day after day after day after day. Amen. It was the same for the apostles as it is for us today. Amen. It was the same for the first church as it is for the church of the last day. Amen. It's real. It's real. Amen. We can have it today. Evidence of the invisible thing. Amen. You can see it. You can have it tonight. You can know that you know that you know that you have received the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Anybody know tonight that you received the Holy Ghost? Anybody know tonight that you've been saved? Is there evidence? Is there evidence? Amen. Praise God. I invite you, if you don't have that evidence tonight and you need it and you want it, you can receive it. Hallelujah. God would like for you to have it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God would like for you to have it tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Just come with faith in your heart. Just simply believe in the Word of God. Jesus, you said it. I believe it. I'm here to receive it. Amen. Open. And He said, if you'll open unto me, I'll come in. That's His promise. Hallelujah. Anybody want the Lord to come in tonight? Come and just let Him in. Open your heart. Open your being. He said, open wide. He said, I'll fill it. I will fill it. Praise God. Hallelujah.